Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Crumery. An update. The Juneau Police Department has arrested a man suspected of assaulting three people over the weekend in the Mendenhall Valley. Police took into custody 24-year-old Juneau resident C.T. Moa today. He was arrested on three counts of fourth-degree assault, two counts of first-degree burglary, and one count of second-degree sexual assault. The charges stem from two separate incidents that took place early Saturday morning when a man allegedly assaulted three people inside two different homes in the Mendenhall Valley. Juneau police first notified the public of the crimes yesterday, saying they believe the same man was responsible. Mawa was taken to Lemon Creek Correctional Center. The department says the investigations into the assaults are still ongoing and additional charges may be filed. Kaylin Schneider has a lot of questions about the police investigation into her mother's disappearance. Tracy Day, a Tlingit woman from Juneau, went missing in 2019, and police say there are no suspects or leads. At a presumptive death declaration hearing last year, Day's family planned to ask Juneau police their questions, but the judge didn't let them. So KTOO takes up the task to ask Juneau police the questions Day's family didn't get to. Tracy Day's daughter, Kaylin Schneider, says a lack of updates, communication, and finally the judge blocking her questions during the hearing make her feel suspicious. And that matches how other loved ones of missing and murdered Indigenous people have felt. Many report being dismissed by law enforcement and the justice system.
When it comes to Native cases, anytime something would pop up, they would be trying to just find the quickest exit instead of the truth.
Juneau police denied KTOO's request to see Day's case files, saying the case is still active. But Juneau Police Chief Craig Campbell sat down with KTOO to answer some of the questions Schneider has had for years. Many are about a specific moment in the investigation, about a year after Day's disappearance. Someone found clothes and Day's bus pass on the side of a mountain. Police told Schneider they called in Sea Dogs, a volunteer nonprofit with trained search dogs. Schneider then received an email with a photo. It showed a search dog sitting next to a pile of large rocks with a makeshift cross in it. The email was from then JPD Detective Patrick Taylor, who was leading the case.
They said the dog alerted them to the grave. And then later when I was like, so why didn't you dig it up? They were like, the dog actually didn't alert us. We set the dog up for the photos. That's weird. Why, what? Like, that makes no sense.
In one email, Taylor first says the dog alerted its handlers to the area and referred to a, quote, quasi-grave marker thing. In another email, he corrected himself. The dog actually did not alert to anything in the area. Schneider wants to know why the site wasn't investigated further, but Taylor is no longer with the department. Juneau Police Deputy Chief Campbell says the clothes were found a distance away from the site with the cross, and since the dog didn't actually alert to it, the department didn't investigate further.
There doesn't seem to be a reason just to start digging in places, and that's probably why they didn't do anything.
Day's family also has questions about a man Day was romantically involved with, like if the police considered him a suspect and if his property was searched. Campbell said JPD spoke with the man, but no suspects in the case panned out in any meaningful way.
They all had, let's say, alibis, whether in town, out of town. They had no animosity or will to Tracy. Like, there just didn't seem like a valid reason. I need to get evidence to show he did it. I need to find evidence. I need people to say, like, yep, he told me this, or, you know, and stuff like that, or I saw this.
Schneider says the family did send JPD a recording of a call they had with the man, which was later also shared with KTOO. In it, the man said he and Day would fight often and violently. One time he said he hit her over the side of the head with a boat oar, and quote, she woke up the next day with a big lump on the side of her head, unquote. That was around the time that Day disappeared. Campbell said the recording wasn't mentioned in reports in Day's file. He said he would look into it after KTOO asked follow-up questions. The man in the recording died in 2021. Lastly, Schneider wants to know what police are doing now with her mother's case.
Why they won't let us look at the evidence. And they claim that it's because it's an active investigation, but then there's no officer assigned. So why is that?
Campbell said JPD checks in on open and active cases annually to see if the person has been seen somewhere else in the United States.
But it doesn't mean that someone is knocking on doors and trying to, like, generate leads. But we do always, when a case is inactive or inactive, you know, case could be closed and no one's touching it for years. If you get information like, hey, XYZ, we heard this, we would open it up and look into it.
He said JPD is in the process of reviewing its policies for missing people. One part he wants to work on is communicating with families. Schneider said she's felt brushed off by police since her mom disappeared, but she isn't going to let it stop her from bringing attention to Day's case.
I don't think they realize how beloved my mother was. I don't think they realize how many people are angry that she's missing and that there are no leads, there's nothing. I think that they believed she would just be forgotten. And they're absolutely wrong. Like, we will never let this go.
In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumery. In another story coming later this week, Schneider talks about who Tracy Day was as a person and what her disappearance has cost her family. And a bill that aims to bring stability to the school budgeting process made its way out of the House Finance Committee on Tuesday. The bill is essentially the same as when the committee first considered it last month, but that could still change in the final weeks of the legislative session. KTOO's Jamie Deep reports.
Calculating school funding is complicated. It's currently based on enrollment projections, which can create uncertainty in a school district's budgeting process. House Bill 261 would allow districts to use known numbers instead of projections to build budgets. In the bill, districts could use enrollment numbers from the previous year or a three-year average of prior years. But if the district's count in the current year is at least 5% greater than the other options, that can be used instead. On top of that, districts could have options for how to count students who receive intensive services, such as students who need multiple services to help with communication and motor skills. The bill would ensure all students are accounted for when determining funding. Ketchikan Republican Representative Jeremy Bynum attempted to simplify the options by only requiring a three-year average be used across the board. He says taking an average gives districts predictability while placing the responsibility on them to plan for changing enrollments.
So in years that they have lower counts, they're getting more money. And in years they have higher counts, they might be getting just a little bit less. But ultimately, they still have a fund balance that they're able to absorb those.
Representative Elise Galvin, an Anchorage independent, opposed the amendment. She said school districts are legally required to provide intensive services for students who need them, and taking an average won't work for them. Those students get 13 times the funding of other students in the state's funding formula.
So if we're smoothing out, and in some years we have over and some a little under, I guess that's where I do draw the line, because we have legal responsibilities that absolutely cannot be underfunded when it comes to our intensive needs students.
Representative Andy Story, a Juneau Democrat and the bill's sponsor, says districts with growing enrollments should be able to have the opportunity to receive the funding to serve incoming students.
If their district was showing an upturn, they didn't want to have to wait to have that accounted. They wanted to be able to make sure that our formula adjusted for what they saw as a bright spot, and wanted to make those students and families have those resources.
Lawmakers narrowly rejected the amendment in a 6-5 vote. According to the most recent fiscal notes, the bill is expected to cost more than $113 million. Most districts are estimated to receive more funding. Bynum says he wants to see more specific modeling on how the school districts will be affected.
I don't believe that we've done the necessary work that we need to do for this complex bill, but I will be I won't be getting in the way for us to continue moving the ball forward on it.
After the committee meeting, Story, the bill's sponsor, said she's working to get more specific data and that it will be presented as the bill moves through the legislative process. The bill was referred to the House Rules Committee on Wednesday. The committee has not met yet this year. The regular session is scheduled to end on May 20th. In Juneau, I'm Jamie Deep.
And a Juneau lawmaker's bill to increase state funding for free legal aid to vulnerable Alaskans is headed to the governor. Juneau's Democratic House Representative Sarah Hannan sponsored House Bill 48. She introduced it in late January of this legislative session. The Alaska House advanced the bill in late February, and the Senate approved it yesterday. Now it heads to Governor Mike Dunleavy's desk. During the bill's final reading in the House earlier this year, Hannan said the bill would help provide urgent relief to low-income Alaskans who need legal aid but can't afford it.
We are helping Alaskans. We are keeping them out of long litigation. We are keeping them housed, fed, health benefits intact, for the disabled veterans they work with, for the women who need restraining orders.
The bill, if signed into law, would boost funding to the Alaska Legal Services Corporation. It's a nonprofit that provides free civil legal aid to low-income Alaskans, targeting issues like housing disputes, domestic violence, and tribal self-government. Right now, state law sets aside 10% of the fees paid annually to the Alaska court system to go to the nonprofit. Hannan's bill would amend the state statute to increase that to 25%. That would provide an estimated $400,000 in additional funding to the nonprofit. The bill cleared the Senate in a 17-3 vote, and the House in a 27-13, with minority Republicans crossing over in support. Opponents said they were concerned about the cost as the state grapples with a long-running structural deficit. A spokesperson for Dunleavy declined to say whether the governor intends to sign the bill. And it's 53 degrees and sunny this afternoon in Juneau. You're listening to KTOO.